You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
the Packers win another too close for comfort game against the Browns.
But drama seems to surround all things Rodgers.
The race for the number one seed is still on.
And a frigid night awaits the Vikings in Lambeau.
4 quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We're now 12 years into this experiment called Cheesehead Radio and are back this week after another too close for comfort Packers win. As is usually the case, your hosts tonight are the irascible Kelly Hodgson, known as That Packer Girl on Twitter. Also joining us is the cantankerous CeeDee Angeli of Packers Talk, known as Tundravision on Twitter. And lastly, little old me, your voice of reason, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. Follow me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. That's it for the introductions. Let's get this show on the road.
Congratulations, man, on passing my touchdown record. I have one request. Go get us another Super Bowl. Congrats.
Well, let's just say I was at the game on Saturday on Christmas Day, and watching a record-breaking touchdown pass, it's a pretty good moment to be there in person for. Pretty cool.
I'm sure.
But did you get an ulcer with the rest of the game?
The rest of the game, it was a little nerve-wracking. I was actually sitting next to a very nice father and son from Cleveland, and you could tell that they were pretty defeated by life in general as they follow the Browns. And
just expecting the worst to happen at all times, right?
You know, and they just kind of sat there and just kind of took it all most of the game, and they were very respectful. They're like, "Oh my gosh, the stadium's amazing." I said, "You know, I'm so glad this is our first time here," and I was. He said, "Yeah, this is a pilgrimage so many people make, whether you're a fan of the Packers or not." And then right at the end of the game, first time they stood up. They're up and they're cheering. And like, we're all like sitting down like, "Oh, did we just go through like 3.5 quarters of feeling really good? And now all of a sudden this father and son are going to feel really good about this game and we're all going to walk out?" No, luckily they sat back down before it was done. So,
oh, but like clockwork, one of my childhood friends pops up on my Facebook account and goes, "Who is, by the way, probably the biggest Browns fan on the planet?" He's like, "How's it feel to have the refs win the game for you?" I didn't know the refs could throw 4 interceptions. David.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because a 22-20 win against the Cleveland Browns, when you've literally forced 4 turnovers and given up 0 yourself, that's a pretty crazy score.
Crazy, yeah. Or unbelievable? Which one?
A little
both.
Bit of
both.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So without those interceptions, how close would that game have been?
Yeah, you're asked a tough question, CD, you know?
I know.
The ones I don't want to answer. Because we don't want to answer.
Because they may not have won had it been for the interceptions.
And that's the answer we don't want to give.
Right. So we're done. Moving on.
Well, let's talk about the guy then who had 2 interceptions in the game. And of course, the critical interception in the waning moments. Rasul Douglas, who we've talked about before on the show. Just amazing. Great listening to him talk after the game. This guy is just, you can just tell he's loving life. He's loving the game. This is a guy who's been in the league for what, 3 years, and just bounced from team to team. And suddenly he is the best free agent pickup we've had since I don't know who.
Yeah. It's gotta be either Charles Woodson or Julius Peppers.
And that seems like a lifetime ago. Even Julius Peppers seems like a lifetime ago.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's been a few years. Yeah,
but considering the more recent free agents are the likes of Blake Bortles and Martellus Bennett, puke emoji. Yeah, I think, you know, Peppers is a good comparison as far as bang for your buck.
But Julius Peppers came to us with quite a pedigree, you know, from Carolina and from Chicago, and this guy was plucked off San Diego's practice squad. So obviously Brian Gutekunst you know, either took a flyer on a guy that he hoped was going to live up to his draft status. I can't remember if he was a second or third round draft pick.
I think he was a third round.
Third rounder. And by the way, Arizona practice.
Thank you, Arizona. And this guy's just blossomed. I mean, it's fantastic.
So are you looking for a more equal choice, someone without the pedigree of a Woodson or a Desmond Howard before they came here?
Yeah,
had,
I mean,
and had that, this kind of success. That's kind of hard.
But he has had the returns that we got from Woodson or Desmond Howard, though. You know, he was a nobody, but his value, I would put him in on par with those guys.
I think Tremond Williams might have to be the guy that I could compare that to.
That's a good choice.
Tremond Williams, I think, came to us as kind of a...
He wasn't a free agent, but he was undrafted, right?
Right. Undrafted
from a low-tier school, yeah.
Yeah, unheralded guy who came in that we didn't expect a lot out of. And
I guess technically he was a free agent, right? Because, okay.
A UDFA.
Right, right.
Yes.
That was the distinction I was making in my head, but really it's still a free agent.
So kind of a walk-on.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe that's the best guy we've had since then. I mean, obviously you bring in a guy like Charles Woodson, Julius Peppers, Reggie White. These guys all had pedigrees. This guy is just a diamond in a desert.
When you brought those guys in, we all knew who they were, and we expected a certain level of productivity. I'll be honest, when we were drafted Rasul Douglas, there were a couple of people like, woo, 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 very excited on the internet, and I was like, who the hell is this guy?
Drafted who?
Or not drafted, when we signed Rasul Douglas.
Oh, signed, okay.
Sorry, I misspoke. And I know there were a couple people that I can think of that were very excited about it, but I really didn't know who he was.
Well, I think you always hope that that's going to happen, that some guy who didn't pan out somewhere else is just going to land in the right situation and in the right scheme with the right teammates, with the right coach, and blossom. And, you know, how many times have we rolled the dice on that? And guess what? 99 times out of 100, it usually doesn't work out. But here's the one time out of 100 where it did.
Because honestly, he's made me not miss Jair Alexander because we...
Bite your tongue.
Did
she just speak those words?
Okay, not miss, but it didn't
I can edit
as much.
Yes, please.
Not hurt as much.
Bleep that out.
Yes.
Okay.
But with Alexander potentially coming back and easing back into the lineup, I think he just made Kevin King obsolete.
And it would be nice to know if the rest of the defense was holding court with him, but our defense is really returning to... You know, we have this point in the middle of the season and we're like, oh my gosh, this defense is amazing. It's great. It's the best defense we've had in years. And we're going to go to the Super Bowl and we can ride our defense and getting there. And we said at the top of the segment here, four interceptions. If we don't get those four interceptions, it didn't feel like we were stopping them. Certainly not as they went down the field. Maybe we stiffened up when they got into the red zone, but that's been the story of this defense for years. You know, the old bend but don't break, and if we don't get a turnover, we're probably not going to stop you.
Yeah. Interesting conversation between Aaron Nagler and Justice Mosqueda. Hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. But Justice was making a point that over this season, we've kind of seen the defense transform or go in phases, right? And he was pointing out that it kind of had something to do with the type of teams that they were playing. They had a run where they were playing a lot of teams with like wide open spread offenses, and the defense really did pretty well in those cases. But lately they've been playing teams that are much tighter formations, much more use of the tight ends. And that seems to be what they are struggling with more. And, you know, here come the Vikings who make good use of their tight ends as well, too. So it's interesting. I want to kind of go back and look at that a little more in detail because he might have a good point there.
Do you think part of this problem could be stemming from the turnstile of defenders? It seems like somebody's either who is an integral part of the defense is either out with an injury or on the COVID list every week. And we had Rashawn Gary, who was injured, and then we had Kenny Clark on the COVID list. You know, it seems like there's always one key piece that's not there. Do you think that's screwing things up, or what do you think the root of this is?
Well, it certainly doesn't help, right? But
yeah, definitely.
I think for the most part, except for maybe missing Tyler Lancaster, they had Well, actually, Kevin King was out too, although we're not going to, you know.
We don't count him.
Too many words on that one, right? I think this last week was probably the most complete they've been for a while. That's not going to be the case this week coming up with new names on the COVID list. But so I don't know. I don't know, Kelly. I don't know that I can put my finger on it.
It definitely can't help chemistry because it seems like one piece is out every week and it's hard to get in a rhythm when you're working with a different cast of characters every time.
Yeah. But, you know, alternately, every team is going through this, right? It's not just the Packers. So I don't know how much blame you can put just on that.
Or is it they're just playing flat?
Well, let's also remember that they played, you know, they were trying to contain Chubb last week, and this upcoming week, they're going to try to take on Dalvin Cook again. So not only do we speak towards Al's tight formations he used tight end, we're also having some battering rams of running backs, too.
Sure.
And that definitely plays into how you're going to have to, you know, cover the front seven and play closer to the line and try to get bodies in there to slow them down. I'll tell you what, it didn't seem like we were slowing Chubb down that much when he got any momentum going.
No. And most damage, most damage was done more towards, you know, towards the edges, not so much right up the middle. And I think we'll talk about this later with Cook. I think that's an important point to make about what they'll try to do against Dalvin Cook. But yeah, Chubb is he's a hell of a good runner, no doubt. And, you know, when they line up with three tight ends next to each other and, you know, they're going to run.
I wonder what's coming.
Yeah,
I wonder what's coming.
And they still have success. You know, something's going right there. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Well, just one offhand note before we finish the first quarter. The Jaguars have requested to interview Nathaniel Hackett, our offensive coordinator, for the head coaching job down there. So that's interesting that our coaching staff is already starting to get picked. But I certainly don't. I like Nathaniel Hackett. I hope he doesn't get it because I can't imagine the hell of a job he'd have to work with down there because the Jaguars are a mess.
Does anybody want that position? Because you're like digging yourself out of a giant hole, and that's going to be a hole that for many years before you fix that.
Anyway, that is the end of the first quarter. I think we're going to call this a win, although a win that we're a little nervous about, but it's still a win. 1-0. Second quarter, this is a topic I picked, and I apologize in it because I hate the idea of how the media is just obsessed with all things Rodgers at this point. But that's kind of what I want to talk about is the fact that how Aaron Rodgers and everything he says is taking on this huge life of its own, whether it be through social media, whether it be reactions on social media, whether it be through media itself, whether it be through fan reaction. It's like everything that comes out of his mouth is just extrapolated and becomes this huge, huge story for good or for bad.
It's an industry. Lots of money being made talking about Aaron Rodgers.
But then Aaron himself. Oh, sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
But then Aaron himself picks outlets where he is beyond reproach. He goes on the McAfee show. He's not questioned on any of the absurdity that comes out of his mouth, nor is he criticized directly on the show. And then he's got McAfee as his attack dog that went after Mike Freeman this week because Mike kind of questioned something. So he's created an echo chamber around himself.
Well, he's definitely aware of it. And I think I go back to, you know, the mid-2000s with Brett Favre, and all things Favre was kind of the catchphrase at the time, you know, between retirement and John Madden, you know, gushing over everything he did and said. And then, of course, we got to the whole retirement, non-retirement, I want to be traded. And ESPN literally had, you remember how ESPN used to have those little crayons at the bottom that do the news and would go NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA. It actually had its own.
Brett Favre.
Favre. Yep. It was its own news topic. It's just Favre. Wasn't NFL, wasn't football, wasn't even the Packers, it was just Favre.
And when that happened, you hear my eyes rolling in the back of my head all the way into Minnesota.
I was wondering what that was. Anyway, so just in the past couple days, a couple of the good things. We saw Aaron Rodgers being very magnanimous with Brett Favre. His quote was, "I got to sit behind a legend for 3 years and see what greatness looked like firsthand. That's an experience that changed my life forever." Just going back and remembering 2005, 2006, 2007, and even the quote-unquote bad blood the years after that, that's really cool to hear from him, don't you think?
No, I do like that he has taken the high road, yes.
That seemed kind of halfway agreed there, Kelly.
Okay, because he knows there's only one right answer here, or you become the villain. And later we'll talk about how he is kind of the villain on some aspects.
He's really worried about being the villain?
No, I don't. And I don't think he cares. But I do really appreciate the fact that that game ball went to Favre's grandson, which I thought was kind of nice.
Interesting choice.
Yeah.
After the game, he talked very poetically about playing in a special place. You know, they're asking about what it's like to break the record in front of the fans, and he was just very gushing, very almost emotional in saying what a great place this is and how great the fans are. Obviously, that's fantastic. Also had this great quote about Devontae Adams where he basically says he's the best player I've ever played with, to which Adams responded, and vice versa. So, you know, you know, you've got this love affair sort of between he and Favre. Love affair between Rodgers and the fans. Love affair between Rodgers and Devontae Adams. What could possibly go wrong?
You have Charles Woodson popping up going, "I'm hurt, bro." That was funny.
Actually, you said, "I'm fine."
That's it. It was like, "Now don't mind me." He was like my mother. I'm just going to go away and die now. You'll miss me when I'm gone.
Whose mother hasn't said that?
You'll miss me when I'm gone. Stuff like that. That tweet actually made me laugh out loud. But yes, CD, what could go wrong?
It is just funny that we have now this pantheon of Packer personalities through the last, whatever, 10, 15 years that are all chiming in this season. It really does make it feel special. But some of the not-so-good things that he's making news with, he has this interview with Aaron Andrews on the field after the game. Immediately finished, after being distanced 6 feet apart, they go over and they hug, which, of course, is a trigger for many people, got a little bit of a backlash. McAfee, he essentially doubles down on some of his COVID talk that he's had in the past, started complaining about two tiers of players, vaccinated and unvaccinated, and how we're treated differently, and we're all spreading it, and da-da-da-da-da, and had this quote that just tweaked me a little bit. If science can't be questioned, it's not science anymore. It's propaganda, and that's the truth. First of all, the sentence structure is just terrible, and that's killing me, but God.
Well, my thing there is, who's doing the questioning? Are there people who are you qualified to do the questioning? Are you a scientist? Are you a doctor? Or are you listening to Joe Rogan and that's your qualifications for questioning? Sure, you can question anything, but it depends who's doing the question and what your qualifications are for doing the questioning. That's my take off from that comment.
And you are absolutely right. So this was my response. The thing about science is that the data changes as we acquire new information. It actively welcomes those changes. To not accept new data is to settle for dogma. It's not becoming propaganda. They want to believe what they want to believe. And then meanwhile, you're stuck in the past. And it's like they're doubling down on the, I don't need to be immunized, you know, the horse paste nonsense. And when he got questioned by it, when Mike Freeman, as a journalist, asked a very good question, he got just shot down by these guys like, how dare you? Why don't you go talk about sports?
What was the question?
Freeman said, essentially, to McAfee, he says, you have a responsibility to call this out. I said, he is essentially putting misinformation out there. Mm-hmm. And as a journalist, you should be doing this. And my response to that was pretty easily. I said, Pat McAfee is not a journalist.
Yeah. And he said that multiple times. Right?
Yes. In his half hour wine fest today about how attacked he was.
Poor me, Brad.
I said, you're not going to question someone. Don't get that upset about someone who writes one tweet questioning you. But yeah, you're right. He's an entertainer. And right now, Aaron Rodgers is his meal ticket, just like you said at the top of the show there, Al. I mean, there's a lot of money invested in this. There's a lot of money that comes from everything Aaron Rodgers. And Pat McAfee has this. I mean, who else does Aaron Rodgers give this kind of time to?
Nobody.
So, yeah, I mean, he knows he's got a good thing. So this guy can go in and talk about it. He can say, hey, kids, you should all use steroids. It'll help you get ahead. And guess what Pat McAfee's going
to
say?
Yeah. Listen, listen to Aaron. Yes.
Yeah.
Rock on, dude. Aaron. Or whatever.
Yeah.
So that the hug with Aaron Andrews, while the optics were quite poor, I guess doesn't upset me because, you know, they were both tested that day. She gets tested frequently. He gets tested frequently. They were outside. One of them is probably immunized. And yeah, the optics were bad, but I'm not going to get mad over that.
All right. Well, I guess just to sum up.
Where do we go with this one?
Oh, before we go, let's talk about his I might retire, I might not. Just to add to the drama of this week.
And also saying that it won't take him long. He won't draw it out to make a decision or whatever he decides to do. And of course, he implies that it's all his decision when, yeah, the Packers kind of have something to say about it too. So that's what I took out of that comment.
You know what I took out of that comment is if we win the Super Bowl, I'm retiring on a high note. See y'all later.
Could be. I would take that.
And that would be fine. That'd be a great way. That's how Elway ended his career.
I would take that. As much as I'd like to see Aaron continue having Aaron Rodgers as the Packers quarterback for years to come, so I know that they're going to be good for years to come, I would trade a Super Bowl win for possible mediocrity. We'll see. I threw possible in there. I was trying to be optimistic.
Well, if the Packers win a Super Bowl, we don't know what he's going to do. It'll be his own victorious secret, I'm sure, that will eventually be shared with us. So
it'll be a beautiful mystery.
Yes. All right, that is the end of our second quarter. All things Aaron Rodgers. Hey, we're going to call this a push right now.
I think so.
It's a draw. It's definitely not a win.
It's
I'm good with that.
All right. So crossing halftime, we're going to get to our third quarter, which of course is going back to clinching. And we talked last week a little bit about the scenarios. And we're kind of like, hey, you know, if the Packers can have a lot of things go their way, I mean, they could pretty much be set with this number one overall seed. Well, unfortunately, the only team that actually lost last week that we wanted to, to lose was the Cardinals. Dallas won, the Rams won, the Bucks won, and that, you know, really doesn't help us out because it keeps our magic number at two, particularly with Dallas. Dallas is the one that really has the best chance right now to unseat us. There's only two games left.
Hard to
believe. Our magic number is two. So, I mean, it's almost putting us in a situation where we might have to win out just to maintain it. And that is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing. These are divisional games. Of course you want to win both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. We can't complain about our opponents. I mean, obviously we have the Vikings and the Lions. If you're going to end on a note where maybe you can have a little flexibility to maybe sit Rodgers down or see if Jair Alexander can still play. Those are probably two good games. But, you know, you're looking at the situation that there's a booby prize here. If you go, the Cowboys and the Packers are you know, if they're going to fight this all the way down to the last game of the season, only one of the two teams gets the bye, right?
Yep.
So the Packers would really like to have some time off. They want some time to see if you can get guys like Jair back in. Maybe Randall Cobb can get back in. David Bakhtiari, outside chance, who knows? Nice to have that extra week off to try to work that in instead of turning it right around and says, "Ooh, let's host a playoff game." So it's big.
Yeah. So who's going to cheer for the Cards? Who has two chromosomes and doesn't really like Mike McCarthy anymore? Who? That would be me. Anyone want to join me?
Don't we all have two chromosomes?
I have two X chromosomes. Yeah, I have two X chromosomes. You two do not.
Oh, okay.
Just saying, the girl on the show is cheering for the Cards. Not that I really want them to win. I just don't want.
Oh, you want them to win.
Dallas to win. I don't want Dallas. I don't.
You definitely want the Cards to win.
I never cheer want Dallas for any lose. Team, other team to win. I want the other team to lose. Big
for. But for that to happen.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
this
I hate
the
to
most
be,
confusing conversation.
I hate to
I've
be the voice
to.
Of reason here again, but I feel like I need to be.
However, how would this get all messed up if it was a tie? Has anybody considered what messed upness that would be?
For who to be a tie?
What do you mean? They finished with the same record, Packers and Cowboys?
No, I mean, like, what if the Cards and the Cowboys tie?
Oh, if the Cards tie. Oh, that probably helps the Packers.
Yeah. I know. So I'm going for a tie. I don't want either team to win.
Yeah, anything other than a win would help the Packers for sure.
Yeah, a tie in a lot of cases is the same as a loss when it comes to some of the, I guess, how it works statistically with standings. So, yeah, the Cowboys would definitely be another half game back for sure.
Yeah.
It would be satisfying.
Right. So if the Packers were to get a win against the Vikings Sunday night and the Cowboys lose, they should be able to clinch this week, potentially. That's really the big thing. I'm sure there's 7 billion other, you know, possibilities and things to go on with those other teams, but really that's it. They win against the Vikes and the Cowboys need to lose. But what if they lose against the Vikes and the Cowboys win?
Oof. Well, that's a scenario we're not thinking about, is it?
No, it's one I'd like to put to bed as soon as possible.
Then we would need to have Steve Kornacki explain it to us on Sunday Night Football.
Well, no, then, I mean, if they have the same record, the Cowboys own the tiebreaker.
Exactly.
So,
which is why the Cowboys are the big dogs.
Exactly, yeah.
Right. Now, right now, if the season ended, the Packers would be the number one seed and the Cowboys would be the number two seed. And people have just started connecting this. That means potentially NFC Championship game, Mike McCarthy gets to come back to Lambeau Field. How do you feel about that?
Bury him.
That would be sweet.
If we win. That would
be sweet. With all drama Aaron Rodgers and his grudge matches, this would be a game for the ages.
CD, I like this plan.
I do too. I think... you're right. I mean, if you're talking about building up this Aaron Rodgers drama.
Wow.
That would be about as Drama McDrama face as you could get.
About it.
How many articles on revisiting the Rodgers-McCarthy relationship would we have that week?
Mike Florio will be insufferable.
I know. But, you know,
Skip Bayless would be even worse.
Oh, my gosh. But, I mean, if you need to give motivation Aaron Rodgers, say, okay, you need to get past this NFC Championship game, dude. Put Mike McCarthy on the other side. That just might be it.
Just put a giant fat head of him on the locker room. You know, just get the hate out because it could be fun, though. It could be deliciously fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're a couple years removed from this, obviously. Things are going very well with Matt LaFleur. Just your opinion. What do you think that relationship is like now with Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy? I mean, how did that end? Are we really looking at hatred between the two?
Strong dislike, perhaps.
I don't know about hatred. I think
dislike.
Dislike, maybe disagreement on the approach that was taken over the last few years when they were together, and that brought upon the dislike and the disappointment. You know, 3 years have gone by. Who knows if they chat, if they've talked, who knows, or if they've just kind of ignored each other.
Oh, come on. Aaron is salty and he holds grudges. He's still mad he didn't get drafted by the 49ers. I just remember this quote about getting even that he said years and years ago when he was on the Jason Wilde show. It's not it's not retribution. It's a reckoning. That is the mindset he's going to have heading into facing McCarthy potentially in the NFC Championship. It's a reckoning. I think they blame each other for running that last season together into the ground. And Aaron's going to come out with his knives out. He's going to want to just prove to McCarthy once and for all, hey, we're better than you. I'm better than you. It's going to be fun.
So summing up, Jersey Al, not that big of a deal. Kelly, kill. Got it.
Kill. That's what, kill. Aaron, kill.
No. I don't say kill. It's Aaron.
So we're going to end the third quarter right there. I think the Packers are in a good position to get the number one seed. We're going to call this a win. Obviously, the Packers winning last week doesn't do much to hurt it. So we're going to say 2-0-1 right now, and we're going to go into our fourth quarter, which is this here big game against the Minnesota Vikings. Little revenge here. You want to talk about knives out and angry Aaron Rodgers and angry Kelly.
And angry CD. You've been talking smack all week about how you can't
I have
stand.
That.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, oh, yeah. Angry CD, let's hear it.
It's a 34-31 lost. The Vikings ran out the clock, if you remember, at the end of the game and kicked a field goal, and there was no time left. And those Viking fans were all over Twitter. And I was just like, God, I even said this right at the time. He says, God, I hope when we play in January, we have the opportunity to end your playoff lives. I hope I will be right there. And so here we are.
We could end their playoff lives.
We could potentially do it. The Vikings are presently the eighth seed. They're out of the playoffs right now. Their hopes are slim. Philadelphia essentially needs to lose out. The Vikings need to win out, or the Vikings will not be able to break back into the playoff hunt. We will know the Philadelphia versus Washington score by the time we play. If Philadelphia wins, we then can end the Vikings that night. And I will be insufferable to Vikings on Twitter.
What did I tell you? Insufferable. The worst fans on the planet.
Kill, kill, kill. I want to kill.
Sweet bliss. Steal it back, Al. Sweet bliss. So let's talk a little bit about this game, though, because it's an interesting game. And let's just skip ahead, first of all, to all the players who are out. Kelly, let's go. Let's run through it there.
All right. The big dog, which is the one that hurts the most, I think, Amari Rodgers, which is okay. Then he can't muff a punt with his face. Henry Black, not even sure who he is.
Oh, big special teams contributor.
Okay.
Yeah, he played a little defensive back.
He played some dime. Okay. Yeah, he played dime defensive back.
Oh, that's who that was. Okay. Tyler Davis.
Yeah, he was going to be important with Big Dog out. And now.
Yep, absolutely.
Now it's like, yeah, now we got two out of four tight ends out.
Kingsley Keke.
Yeah, he was a healthy scratch last week, so.
And who the hell is going to punt this week?
I don't know. I know I can't punt. I was never able to.
However, with the recommendation, he's asymptomatic. Could come back after 5 days, but he has to wear a mask, so I don't know how the NFL is going to handle that.
I thought I had read that anybody who got named to the list today would not be able to come back on Sunday.
Okay, then he could not. Okay.
Like if they were put on yesterday, they could possibly come back. But if they went today, the timing just isn't right, I think.
So we could have Kurt Bankert. He can punt. Or they die as men and go without a punter. Just go for it on fourth down every time.
Hopefully this will make them value getting first downs a little bit more than they do. But
it's like, congratulations, you're putting in QB3 to punt.
Well, I have good news for you.
They have to go out and get somebody. They have.
I have good news, guys. J.K. Scott is available as a free agent.
Oh, J.K. There's always there's always punters available.
Well, there's also Bankert. So.
Well, Ryan Winslow was actually a training camp too, so he is presently on the Arizona practice squad.
Uh-oh.
So that could be a quick sign. Which wouldn't surprise me at all whatsoever.
We do have a kicker on the practice squad, yeah, there is no
right.
Yes. We die as men, gentlemen. No,
I'm just hoping that Corey Bohorquez wasn't hanging out too closely with Mason Crosby this week.
Then we'd have Molson Coors. He'd be able to kick for us off the practice.
Mm-hmm. Which brings us back to they die as men, no kicks.
On the other side of the ball. The Vikings are missing a pretty important player. Kelly?
All right. Adam Thielen is officially placed on injured reserve. And he missed the last two games with an ankle injury, but he has since had a season-ending surgery for that ankle.
And he has killed the Packers in terms of catching touchdown passes. In the red zone, he has just destroyed the Packers. So that's pretty
not
big.
Been pretty.
That's pretty big, yeah.
Well, and it's massive because – I mean, it's no secret that Justin Jefferson has been destroying pretty much every team he's been playing against this year, but particularly had a very good game against the Packers in week 11.
Particularly. Yes.
Not having Adam Thielen there helps a little bit because you have to guard Adam Thielen. You have to cover him.
Right.
You might be able to swing a little more coverage against Justin Jefferson, give Stokes maybe a little more help. Maybe Jair comes in as a...
I doubt that, but...
They've already talking about easing him back, kind of like they're easing back Bakhtiari, whatever that means.
But at least Jair's been practicing for 3 weeks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he probably, based on that, he probably has the best chance of any of the injured guys to come back for the playoffs, but...
And once again, it still goes down to the age-old question. Is it going to be prime Jair Alexander? Or is it going to be week one preseason Jair? And
that's an age-old question?
It, it, well, I've been asking it for ages this season, for
ages.
Sure.
You talk ages. About
it. So it is age old.
Going it's back weeks to old. Caveman times.
Remember those days, kids?
Yeah.
So obviously that'll be a big matchup. But obviously the other big story, you know, maybe it's a little overblown, but they've been saying this is going to be one of the coldest games potentially in Lambeau Field history. So there's been a lot of discussion lately about what those cold games were. But
okay, let me just interrupt about that. They're like, oh, it's going to be really, really cold at the start of the game. If you actually look at the actual weather forecast, that 2-degree low is the low for the entire night. That's like middle of the night. It's supposed to be like starting in the teens with the at kickoff. So whatever.
Okay.
Well, that just took all the air out of that kind
yeah,
of
yeah, I mean, well, now what do we do, CD?
I don't know.
Let's talk about the historically cold games. Every time they predict, it's like, oh, it's going to be cold.
Well, where
like
did you hear 17 degrees? That's okay, not
looked,
what
I... Okay, so I went to Weather Underground and actually looked at the forecast and how they predicted.
Weather Underground doesn't know what they're talking about.
All right, so yeah, so we'll say it's going to be cold. It's winter in Wisconsin. Here's my shocked face. But the last time there was all this hype about being a real cold game, it didn't even make the top 10 for cold. It was like, oh, it's supposed to be like 6 below. And that was that playoff game against San Francisco. And so I like bundled up to the hilt, and then it was like not cold.
Okay, so
that wasn't
I'm
cold.
Disagree. I'm
well,
disagree.
It was like in the teens.
It no, it wasn't.
Like, well, okay, 6 degrees. I was
no,
ready for
it
like,
wasn't in the teens. I was there. I know how cold it was.
It wasn't as cold as predicted.
In the morning, walking out of my hotel at 8 a.m. in the morning, 7 a.m., it was -7 degrees. By game time, it was like 3 degrees. That's pretty cold. And that's without, you know, that's without any wind chill factored in.
Now, what I'm looking at here is not Weather Underground. I'm looking on NFLweather.com.
NFL. I'm seeing, so much more accurate.
I'm seeing
sounds legitimate to me.
5 degrees with a wind chill of -9 for the game.
Oh, the wind chill, yeah. Then that could factor in and make it kind of awful.
Yes. So.
And it looks like a chance of snow, too.
So, which game did you say you're at? You're at Jersey? Which one were you talking about?
The 49ers playoff.
In 90...
No, 90, in like 2000-something.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2000-something.
Got it, okay.
It's probably been like 7 years or something
yeah,
like
that. Yeah, it was like that. Yeah. I remember running into you, and I had no voice because I'd been sick.
So I was at, in 1993, I was at the Los Angeles Raiders game where it was 0 degrees. December 26th, I was there.
That's
was the first Lambeau Leap game.
I watched that on TV in Madison, and it was nice and warm.
That was cold. I was also at the playoff game in 2011 against the Giants. That was cold.
That was cold, and then it was it just like hurt even more because of the outcome.
So yes, a lot of cold games. But as you kind of look at some of the temperatures, if that game is 5, it's going to be right in there probably with some of these other really, really cold games. But yes, it's going to be that wind chill that's going to pick up. Now, yeah. Jersey Al, were you at the Ice Bowl?
You were.
I could have been. I wasn't.
Oh. Oh, that's right.
No. Mom was pregnant with me about 8 months, and she refused to go even though she had a ticket. So
she was smart because it would have been really cold.
I would have been plenty warm.
You would have been plenty warm. But I remember that 97 NFC Championship game against Carolina. I didn't go to the game, but I was outside that day trying to get into a local venue to watch the game, and just remembering how cold it was just that day, too.
Yeah. So I think.
So Green Bay is cold.
Green Bay is cold. Come on. Yeah. Water's wet. Sun's hot. You know, it's cold in Wisconsin and the end of the year.
All right. That is the end of the fourth quarter. Are we going to call this one a win?
Sure.
Maybe because of all right. the out.
Well,
a win.
We're going to call it a win. It's a game against the Vikings. We're going to win as we're going to predict right now.
Pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cheesehead Radio. Packer game predictions.
All right. The Packers close out their home slate of games on Sunday night with a game against the free-falling division rival Minnesota Vikings, whose fan base is predictably imploding after a loss to the Rams last week. At 7-8, the Vikes, like the Browns last week, are on the outside of the playoff bubble looking in and are no longer in control of their own destiny to work their way back in. The 34-31 win at home over the Packers in Week 11 might be enough to give them hope, but it is more than enough to give Rodgers and company total motivation to make sure that they know who is going to the playoffs and who is not. It's going to be a sub-zero game by the end of the night, and the Packers are 6.5-point favorites, according to Vegas. Who do you got, Jersey Al?
Well, here we go again. I don't see anything being different than what we've had the last 2 weeks. This will be a close game that'll be decided one way or another in the last minute. The expected frigid temperatures will be a small advantage for the Packers, but getting Dalvin Cook back will help the Vikings more. The Vikings are fighting for their playoff lives, and you can be sure they'll pull out all the stops. The Packers must keep Cook from breaking off big runs and hold them to field goals in the red zone. This game will end with the Packers doing to the Vikings what they did to the Packers earlier this year, as Mason Crosby hits a last-second game winner. Packers 23, Vikings 20.
Faith in Crosby, I like it.
That's different.
As long as he stays away from Bojo.
I have had this game circled on my calendar for a month, and I am just dying to silence those occasional trolls on my Twitter feed who think that a lucky win at home gives them any amount of swagger. The Packers need this game, though. Not having any experience in frigid conditions before the playoffs puts this team at less of an advantage when bringing the likes of the Cowboys or Rams or the Bucks on their home turf. It's going to be a cold one, but not anywhere near as cold as the bus ride home for the Vikings and their fans. Packers 36, Vikings 14.
Whoa, confidence.
Much swagger. So I've said this many times, I love to hate the Bears. It's sad when they stink, and the rivalry isn't as good as it should be. I kind of pity the Lions, because they've been bad since the front office drove Barry Sanders out of town. And I cannot stand and really don't respect the Minnesota Vikings or their obnoxious fan base. There's nothing more than I want to do to ring in the new year than embarrass their stupid team and their how do you like that idiot quarterback. Speaking of which, Kirk Cousins will be out of his rockstar receiver. It's going to be a chillier Sunday night than my cold, dark soul. And it's Lambeau freaking field.
Sorry,
podcast has gotten really dark with Kelly talking.
I tell you, let her finish.
It's a perfect recipe for Cousins to hang a pick six or two in the air for Douglas. Packers got embarrassed in Minnesota earlier this year. It's time for a little retribution. Packers 34. Yes, I too have faith in Crosby. Vikings 24.
Wow, what a descriptive prediction there. Very eloquently written.
With my cold, dark soul.
Yes, very dramatic.
Actually, I've had a really good mood this week.
I'm glad Kelly's on Skype today and not in person. I'm a little nervous the way all the
Killy
things and dark the dark soul thing. It's like, you know, let's keep her on Skype. Hey?
I'm pretty happy, though.
Okay.
But hey, it's Vikings week. It's a great time of year. We've completely come off the rails tonight. Yeah. Someone get us something to get out of here.
Yes.
The chance that she's going to get through this outro?
I don't know.
All right. Let's give it a shot. Here we go.
Thank you so much for joining us on Cheesehead Radio in our 12th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can listen to several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
Cold Dark Soul.
Stop it. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you liked what you heard, show us some love and leave us a review.
Cold dark soul will come after you.
Stop it. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying, play Packers Talk Podcast. That's a wrap.
Kill.
You know what that's from? Either of you know what that's from?
Is that something
kill?
We're not old enough.
No, we're not old enough.
You're right. You're not exactly right. That's why you don't know. It's from Alice's Restaurant.
Oh,
huh?
Alice's Restaurant. You don't know the Alice's Restaurant song that they play on Thanksgiving all the time, where he gets arrested for littering and they want to put him in jail with the other killers. Holy cow, you guys really don't know Alice's Restaurant.
You officially... Turning Point Buck. And you've just proved you're as old as my brother.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Wow, I can't believe you guys don't know that.